I'm sure I'm not alone. I'll bet you, most of you, when you come to Mother's Day, have a lot of nostalgia. Don't you? I think the nostalgia's there when we think about times past, motherhood, and all of that. I always remember Mother's Day when I was growing up in the same house with my grandparents. And Grandpa Huggins would always get my Grandma Huggins on Mother's Day a gardenia. And he'd very happily pinned it on Grandma, and she got ready to go to church. And he sat down in his chair and put a chaw in his mouth and read the paper. It wasn't Christmas. Why should he go? That's true. The gardenia's true, too. I didn't know I'd be growing them myself someday. But she had that gardenia and she went to church. It was Mother's Day and that was it. I don't remember my dad ever buying my mother flowers. I don't. But I do remember he'd buy her chocolate for Mother's Day that we'd eat. I loved him for that. That was good choosing. But when I read this scripture this morning, when I was going over looking at it for a sermon, I thought, boy, this just fits last Sunday's sermon right in a package. Because last week we talked about love. This week we talk about friends and Mother's Day. And the reason I said nostalgia, I know some of you widows very well, and your best friend was your husband. I lost a good friend when I lost my first wife. Now I've got another friend. And I love her. Mush, huh, honey? Friends. When I was asking the kids about friends and they're going through it, how many of you were thinking of friends from your childhood when I mentioned that? Yeah. I remember my good friend John Agus. John Agus was the most trustworthy, wonderful guy, and we would do things together, and we would share dating, double dating, so we could save on gas, one car at a time. And we had a great time. We just did nonsense stuff together, and we were cheap. I wasn't going to confess this, but I'm going to tell you right now. His mama was wonderful working corsages. She could make a corsage out of nothing. And we were going to the spring formal. Not the prom, but the spring formal. And you had to get a bouquet for your date. We were running pretty tight. Got enough for gas. How are we going to afford? And John said, I got an idea. And of course, we go along with each other. We went up to the cemetery after a funeral. And John says, let's pick the better ones. They're going to just throw them over the hill anyway. And we did. We picked the nicest carnations. And this, that, and the other thing, and took it to his mother. She said, where did you get these? And he says, oh, we got them from the florist. She made the nicest corsages you ever saw in your life. And Joy didn't know any different. And Joanne, who went with John, didn't know any different. And I finally confessed it before Joy died. You didn't. I said, I did. We saved some money. Why just throw them away? Practical. That's the kind of friend John was. John joined the army after graduation. He kind of careered. He was an MP. And then when he got out, he met a wonderful lady in Texas. They got married. They moved to the valley outside of Los Angeles. He became a policeman for the city of Los Angeles. And his one big claim to fame was, do you remember the big riots in the 80s and the police car that was burning? That was John's. He said, I made Time magazine. They didn't take my picture, but they burnt the car. And because he was there and they were shooting, the guy next to him shot the gun next to his ear and it blew his hearing. So then he had the desk job. They have two daughters who are now deputy sheriffs in Orange County, California. But I think of John. I talked to him and his wife on Facebook. And he doesn't like to talk too much. He retired to Arizona. But he remembers the bouquet. Friends. A wonderful word. Open your Bibles. The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. I'm reading from verse 9. You'll see it's part of what we had before. The other verses, we're talking about the vine and branches where we are all working together in this game of life. As the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my command, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. For you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Jesus proclaims this in a wonderful way when he says that we're his friends. He doesn't say that you're servants or flock or followers or even disciples, but friends. I always think of that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. I think of that when I read this scripture. And suddenly we become aware that this friendship, it really has a power by itself. It has a clarification that is unlike anything else in all of Scripture. When we think of God in Christ as a friend, we experience God's grace. We experience God's love in a very real and wonderful way. God is a friend who knows us, and He loves us anyway, no matter where we get the flowers for the bouquet. That kind of love. Friendship is characterized by freedom. It's characterized by trust. And it's characterized by responsibility to one another. Jesus' words to us that we're truly friends of God has some pretty radical implications, I think, for our church. In a way, because it tells us how we should live and how we should serve and how we should be in the whole business of life. Because that's what ministry is. Our ministry together. Friendship ought to move us away from a self-centered religious posture that measures our faith commitment in terms of cost-benefit analysis. I like to throw that in because that's always a part of our society now. What's in it for me? It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. To be friends of God, to be friends of Jesus Christ, to be friends to each other in the name of Jesus Christ, changes how we hear words. Words that we take for granted in the life of a church. We hear words like evangelism, and we hear words of stewardship, and we hear words of mission, and we've heard it, all three of them, in the life of our worship here in McLeod. Any church, you've got those words that keep coming out, but have you ever thought about them deeply? As friends of God, we're invited to share in God's generosity to one another. That is stewardship. It's not just putting money in a plate. It's putting your life on the line for someone else. Can you do it? Can you do it? When we see ourselves as friends of God, we hear Jesus' words, "Love one another as I have loved you." And it's an invitation, my friends. It's an invitation that Jesus is making to share the values of a divine friend is the greatest compliment that could ever be given to human beings anywhere. And you know, that's mission. That's mission. I'm giving to you as Christ gave to me. And we give to one another. Ah, for crying out loud, why would we go into the far corners of the earth trying to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ? It's not just proclaiming, it's sharing and living. And it begins here at home. Friendship is about connection and sharing. As God is always seeking new friends to join His family in faith, we're encouraged to be intentional and not shy about inviting people to join in our family to what we're doing together. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why are we so timid? I don't know, because that's practical evangelism. Come, share with me the good news of Jesus Christ. Come, share with me in that stewardship and that mission that I mentioned. Come, share my life. The kids said it. didn't they? What are the things in friendship? It's trust. It's love. As friends of Christ, we're invited to share in His life and His mission. No one else in all of the world's religions make that claim. No one else offers that invitation. Friendship with Christ is not an exclusive club limited to just a few. It never has been and it never will be. God seeks to be friends with everyone. That's why He gave us Jesus Christ. There's no limit to God's friendship. There's no limit to God's love. Friendship in Christ. A long time ago, in the state of Pennsylvania, I was invited by a black preacher at Bright Hope Baptist Church in Philadelphia to give a sermon. Bright Hope Baptist Church had about 2,000 to 3,000 members. Right in the heart of Philadelphia, the pastor was Dr. William Gray. Bill Gray had been president of Florida A&M, and he went to Philadelphia to be pastor of this big church. We got acquainted at the Pennsylvania Constitutional Convention. As delegates, we were there as a unique group. But more importantly, there were four clergy who were members of that august body. I was one of the four. A Presbyterian, a Baptist, a Methodist, and a Quaker. I don't count the Quaker. He slept most of the time. But Bill Gray said, "I want you to come down and bring the word." So, Joy and I thought that would be fun to go to Philadelphia for a weekend. And we did. And he announced it at the convention that Brother Huggins was going to be preaching at his church. Well, we were friends because of our interest in what we were doing for the citizens of Pennsylvania. But I got to that big church in the heart of downtown, and Joy and I were the only two people who were very light-complected. You appreciate that. And two others, Dante Mattioni and Gus Amsterdam, a Jew and a Presbyterian Italian, came and sat there in the row with Joy, and I went up in the pulpit with Bill Gray, and my sermon was about what we are as friends in Jesus Christ. And when I finished the sermon, which I thought was very good, Bill said, "Well, we're going to take up another offering. That sermon was worth it. I don't want to hear any jingling." And they passed the baskets, and I didn't hear any jingling. Well, they'd already taken up an offering. And these were baskets that were like about this way. And they passed the baskets, and service was over, and the usual stuff at the door. And then he says, "I want you to come with me." So we went back to the office. He dumped one of the baskets out on top of the desk. And he said, my deacons are going to guard me. He said, because this is a lot of money. I said, I'll say, what are you going to do? And he said, you'll see. He said, we're friends in Christ, and friends help friends. So I stood there. His deacon, by the way, was Joe Foreman, who shook my hand, and I couldn't even see my hand. He had the biggest hand I ever saw in my life, and I thought, boy, put that on a glove, and somebody's going to get hurt. People lined up coming in the office. Aunt Mary, how much do you need? She says, well, I'm short about $25 for food this week. He said, you need about 30, don't you? She says, that'd help. Gave her 30. Somebody else said, well, you know, I'm having trouble paying my electric bill. And you see, I'm going back to the 60s, so electricity wasn't quite as expensive. And I need about $40 to pay the electric bill. 40. You know, that line came and the money went. And I said, do you do this? He said, every Sunday. He said, this is practical Christianity. This is why we're friends in Jesus Christ. We're to help one another. The rest goes in the bank because we do have bills to pay. I like that, Bill. I said, I like that. That's practical. But I said, you know, Presbyterians will still have to operate by a committee and write a check. He says, that's your complication. That's not mine. God keeps reaching out to make new friends. God's friends are not ours yet. But they're friends like that who have a need. God's friends with us. And believe me, God will never unfriend you. Ever. Ever. And Christ never stops looking for new friends. And never stops letting us grow and deepen our friendship with Him and with each other. Amen. God, you're good to us. We're grateful. You love us. You challenge us. You encourage us. You put up with our nonsense, and you love us still. Thank you. Amen.